بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we come to the third lesson from the lessons of Surah Al-Kahf, and this has to do with the test of knowledge. Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was speaking at some majlis, and somebody asked him, who is the most knowledgeable person in the world? So Musa alayhi salam said, I am the most knowledgeable person. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, there is somebody who is more knowledgeable than you. So Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, please let me meet him and learn something from him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to, the Quran does not mention the name Khizr. We learn that name from the hadith, but the Quran says, Abd min Ibad, one of the slaves among the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to Khizr. And we know the whole story, how he went and how he found him and so on and so on. All of that is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. And the time that Musa alayhi salam spent with Khizr alayhi salam, and the three incidents which happened, the incident of the boats, the incident of the boy, and the incident of the wall. Now, lessons from this. First and foremost lesson from this is the issue of how knowledgeable we consider ourselves. Now, if you take Musa alayhi salam's statement according to the hadith, and if you consider it objectively, then it was not a statement of arrogance. Musa alayhi salam was not saying that I am the most knowledgeable from a position of arrogance. He merely stated a fact, because when the Nabi is there, nobody can be more knowledgeable than the Nabi by definition, because the Nabi is receiving wahi. So whether it is Musa alayhi salam or Isa alayhi salam or any Nabi, if the Nabi of the time says that I am the most knowledgeable, this is fact. This is not arrogance, because Nabi is getting a kind of knowledge that nobody else has. So it is quite perfectly reasonable for a Nabi to say, I am the most knowledgeable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still did not like that particular attitude. So the first question that I ask myself, and I request you to ask yourself is, and remind you is, today what do we think of ourselves in terms of knowledge? The issue is that as time goes by and large standards drop, right? And even in times, in a particular given time, depending on the company you keep, you will be pushed in a certain case. In other cases, you can afford to be complacent. For example, in terms of knowledge, a man came to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayh. Now we are talking about the time of the Tabi'in, right? Or Taba Tabi'in. So he came to Imam Ahmad and he asked him, how many ahadith should a man know by heart, should he have memorized, before he can be considered to be fit for extracting rulings, istinbadul ahkam? How many ahadith should a man have memorized before you can say he is qualified to extract rulings of fiqh? Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi did not say anything. He did not reply to this question at all. But the man was persistent. So see where he starts. See the number he starts. This gives you an indication of what was the standard in those days. The man says, is it enough to memorize 10,000 ahadith? He's not saying, is it enough to memorize 100? 10,000 ahadith. Now, when we say memorize, by saying memorize, you are talking about the complete chain of narration of narrators, right? The whole thing. It's not only the words of the hadith. So, including all of that, he said, is it enough to memorize 10,000? Imam Ahmad said, no. He said 20, he said no. He said 30, he said no. The man went all the way to 120,000 ahadith. He also must have been a very persistent man who went on and on and on. Says 120,000 ahadith. Is it sufficient if a man memorizes that for him to be considered qualified to extract fiqh rulings? Imam Ahmad says, maybe. He's not saying if he memorizes 120,000 ahadith, can we call him, Shaykhul Islam? Can we call him Allama Fulan bin Fulan, Damat Barkatuhum? Can we call him as the greatest scholar of the time? No, he's asking, is he qualified to extract a ruling of fiqh? So, who is this person? Is he some unique individual? No, he is one among those ulama who have reached a basic minimum qualification. Now, this gives you an idea about the standard of the time. Now, if you apply that standard, I always have a big laugh whenever I am introduced in, when I go to speak, people introduce me, oh, say, this is Sheikh Yaver Beg, he is a great alim. And so I laugh to myself. I say, Allah's great karam that I was born in this time. If I was born in Imam Ahmad's time, I would have been told to go and sit with his donkey, because that is my level of knowledge. The donkey of Imam Ahmad probably knows more, has more knowledge than I have. Seriously, I'm not joking. This is how standards have fallen from where to where. Wherever we are, we must try to do our best, inshallah. Even if you know one thing, you try to do that best. But I'm saying that the issue of knowledge and the issue of feeling arrogant about knowledge, the issue of feeling that I am this great Sheikh and I am this great Sufi and I am great this great Allama and I have qualified from this Darul Uloom or that Darul Uloom, I have written so many books, I have read so many books, all of this is from Shaitan. So the first lesson is this, that if you feel comfortable with your knowledge, if you feel that you have this great knowledge, then beware, you are more than likely sitting in the lap of Shaitan. Make tawbah wal istighfar. Number one. Number two, see Musa alayhi salam's attitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is a slave of mine who knows more than you. That's all, right? Allah did not say you should go and learn. Why don't you meet him? No, nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply said to Musa alayhi salam, according to the hadith of Musa alayhi salam, there is a slave of mine who knows more than you. Instant reaction of Musa alayhi salam is what? Yalla, where is he? Yalla, please show me. Yalla, I want to go and learn. Did he say, okay, so is that the case? All right, now why don't you send him to me? And after all, I am the Nabi. I am Sahibul Kitab. I am Sahibul Sharia. I am Kalimullah. That slave of yours is not Kalimullah. I am Kalimullah. You call me to Tur, you didn't call that man to Tur, now you send him to me. Simple question to ask ourselves is, your little brat who is in your home, for him to teach Quran, does the imam come to your house or does your brat go to the imam? This is where attitudes are built. Seriously, I'm telling you. This is where attitudes are built. Because that imam is a poor man, because you give him a salary, he must come to your house to teach your child. And I'm deliberately using the term brat, because this is what we bring up our children to be. And then how many times have you seen this, that the imam comes to teach? Nobody even has the courtesy. In today's time, even those imams who are poor, they still have a cell phone, right? Nobody has the courtesy to phone him in advance. After he comes to your house, then you will say, no, you know, he is sleeping today. Baba thake hue hai, wo falane hai, kaun sa muhim sar karke aayegi. So the point is, you know, so he today he will not study. And if it is the maths tuition teacher or if it's some other tuition teacher, first of all, tuition teacher will not come to your house. You will drag him out of your child out of the bed and you chuck him into the car and or wherever and you send him to the tuition teacher. This is the issue of attitude. Then how will you have value for Islamic knowledge? When you treat Islamic knowledge, we treat Islamic knowledge like this. So second lesson is the humility, the need of the learner, the need of the seeker. It is not the need for the teacher to teach you. The need is of the learner to go to the teacher to learn. And this is the beautiful attitude of Musa alayhi wasalam. Immediately, yalla, where is he? Can I go to him? Can you ask him to teach me? Third one is the effort which Musa alayhi salam made. He went a long distance, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him this, how will I find him? Allah said, take a fish in a container. Where the fish escapes, that is the place. Now Musa alayhi salam has Yusha bin Nun with him as his assistant or his servant. And Yusha bin Nun is the one who is carrying this fish. Now this fish jumps into the water. Yusha bin Nun notices that it's going in a peculiar way, as if it is making a tunnel in the water. But then he forgets to tell Musa alayhi salam. And they travel from that point, they travel one full day and one full night. So how long is that journey? Imagine. One full day and a full night. And only then Musa alayhi salam starts feeling tired and starts feeling hungry. So he says to Yusha bin Nun, where is our lunch? Because this fish was there, you know, at least you cooked the fish. And then he remembers, no, but you know that thing, it went into the water. Where? Which place? Where is that? Now you come back again, one night and one day, because you traveled, you ever come back. The point being that all of this effort is being expended in trying to find the teacher to learn. Who is doing that? Somebody who is not only knowledgeable, somebody who is the Nabi of Allah, he is among the Ulul Azam min al-Anbiya, he is Kalimullah, he is the Shah Sahibul Sharia, not Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam is the Sahibul Sharia. Isa alayhi salam came on the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam. He is the Sahibul Kitab. He is not any ordinary person we are talking about here. Here is a man who single-handedly opposed and stood up against Ramesses IV, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and defeated him. Yeah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa. Single-handed. Which army did Musa have? Nothing. And his people who were not following him, you know, they didn't support him. Despite all that, when it comes to seeking of knowledge, Musa alayhi salam's attitude is an attitude of absolute humility, absolute humbleness. I am the seeker, I am the one in need. And then when he meets Khidr alayhi salam, Khidr alayhi salam tells him, you know, the whole conversation, I'm not going into detail, but after that, Khidr alayhi salam tells him, you will not have sabr with me. Musa alayhi salam said, no, I will have sabr. He said, you will not question me. He said, I will not question you. So what is happening here? The teacher is setting some conditions of learning. You want to learn from me? These are my conditions. You must be here on time. I don't want excuses. If I give you a lesson, you must read this lesson. If I give you some exercise, you must complete that exercise. Don't come back to me and tell, no, this happened. I don't care what happened. This is what I have given you. I expect you to complete it. I expect you to fulfill it. Musa alayhi salam is not saying, no, hold on a second, you know, this is fine, but I've got this whole ummah to take care of. You know, who will do that? No, I am here, you tell me, I will do. So three lessons, inshallah, more tomorrow. First lesson is the issue of feeling arrogant about knowledge. The second one is the humility to go and look for a teacher. The third one is to make that effort, whatever effort is required, and to fulfill the conditions of the teacher. Not setting conditions for the teacher. I want you to come at this time. I want to meet you at this time. Who are you to say what time you want? You want to meet me, so I will give you the time. You don't give me the time that you want to meet me. Musallam didn't know. He said, whatever conditions you use, I will fulfill. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be among those who approach knowledge correctly and then to benefit us from this knowledge. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.